I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today, I have a special program for you, and we'll return to back pain on the next show. I have Jonathan Goldman with me, and he will talk about his new book, The Divine Name, The Sound That Can Change the World, that includes an instructional CD. Jonathan is an international authority on sound healing and a pioneer in the field of harmonics. He has worked with masters of sound from both the scientific and the spiritual traditions, and has been empowered by the chant master of the Dalai Lama to teach Tibetan overtone chanting. Jonathan is author of Healing Sounds, Shifting Frequencies, The Lost Chord, and Tantra of Sound Frequencies of Healing that was co-authored with his wife, Andy. He was winner of the 2006 Visionary Award for Best Alternative Health Book, the best-selling The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing. He is director of the Sound Healers Association and president of Spirit Music Incorporated in Boulder, Colorado. A Grammy nominee, Jonathan has created numerous best-selling award-winning recordings, including The Divine Name with Greg Braden, 2012 Ascension Harmonics, and Chakra Chants that was a double winner of Visionary Award for Best Healing Meditation Album and Award of the Year. In all, he has produced 25 CDs and published 5 books. He is a lecturing member of the International Society for Music Medicine and has dedicated his life to the path of service, helping awaken and empower others with the use of sound healing and transformation. He presents healing sound lectures, workshops, and seminars worldwide. More information is available at www.healingsounds.com. I'm happy to have you on the Holistic Health Show, Jonathan, and I look forward to hearing about your new book.
Carl, thank you very much.
You have been working in the field of sound and healing for over 30 years and are considered a pioneer. How did you get into this field?
Well, there's a little story that is actually, my latest book is called The Divine Name, and it's about a major discovery that I made. But my previous book was called The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, and that's also from Hay House. And in that one, I actually start the book with a story of how I got in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl, it began about 30 years ago, actually a little bit longer, and I was playing in a rock and roll band. And I remember I went on stage, and all of a sudden I had the experience of looking around and realizing that the music that I was creating was helping induce an ambiance of negativity and violence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no doubt the alcohol and the other intoxicants that people were imbibing was helping to do that, but I also realized that the music was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to understand that I had been playing for about 15 years previous to that, so the fact that I had that thought that particular night really was astounding. And, you know, I simply had the thought, gee, I wonder if music could be used to make people feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, doors just began to open. I ultimately got a degree researching the effects of sound and music from Lesley University, a master's degree there, then founded the Sound Healers Association, which is the world's first, at the time, was a nonprofit organization dedicated to education and awareness of sound and music for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a just wonderful, wonderful, extraordinary experience. My record company, now this is interesting, my record company was sort of a new wave, not new age, but a new wave
mm-hmm.
record company, but it was called Spirit Music. So the one thing I did not have to do was change the name of my record company because it was called Spirit Music. So
mm-hmm.
we went to Spirit Music and we became one of the first companies that specialized in the therapeutic and transformational uses of sound and music.
Mm-hmm. What is then sound healing, and how can sound and music be used to heal others, Jonathan?
Well, Carl, just very, very quickly, whether we're coming from a biblical or a spiritual viewpoint or a scientific viewpoint, we find that our ancient mystic masters and our modern physicists are both in agreement. Everything is in a state of vibration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, or the Lord said, let there be light. And this is found in all the different traditions. In the Hindu tradition, in the Vedas, it says in the beginning was Brahman, with whom was the Word, and the Word was Brahman. And yet we have our quantum physicists now telling us that everything in the universe is music, and they're calling this concept that everything is in a state of vibration super string theory, which I love,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the idea is that everything is indeed in a state of vibration. That includes different parts of our body.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like this wonderful overall orchestra that's playing the symphony of the self. But what happens if the second violin player loses their sheet music? They begin to play out of the wrong notes. They're playing out of rhythm, out of harmony. And it's basically akin to a part of our body vibrating out of ease or out of harmony. And, you know, we can call that condition, if you like, saying something is dis-ease.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, what if we could somehow restore back to this string player their sheet music and get them playing in tune with the orchestra? What if we could somehow restore back to our body the correct, healthy, resonant frequencies and cause us to vibrate back in harmony? That's basically, the, you know, a very, very elementary concept of how sound could be used to heal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then, Jonathan, you have a new book titled The Divine Name, The Sound That Can Change the World. How can a sound make a difference in the world?
Ah. Boy, Carl, you just jumped to perhaps the most complicated answer that I can give. This is going to take a minute, then, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because basically this starts with the concept
mm-hmm.
that our consciousness as human beings is interrelated with each other. Okay, that we're not only individual beings on this planet, but we're collectively united. And the fact that this collective unification of consciousness actually can interface and affect the consciousness of what could be called the planet, the Gaia consciousness. It's had a whole lot of different names. Some people call it the field. Some people call it the divine matrix.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of different names. And in fact, Princeton University, this is very interesting, has a project out where they literally, it's called the Global Consciousness Project, and
mm-hmm.
they're able to measure, for want of a better term, events of high compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do they do this? They have these random number generators. And these random number generators, what do? They generate random numbers. But, Carl, when events of high compassion occur, these random number generators generate numbers that are less than random. They don't know why this occurs. And we're not talking about now events of great compassion like the Super Bowl. Of events of great excitement like the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about events of great compassion. And these can be global prayers, global meditations, or sometimes, you know, events, something like a tsunami where we're feeling great compassion for all the people. And the people at Princeton are actually able to take what would be a relatively straight line, and because of the non-randomness of the numbers, actually graph it and chart it. Now, they found that when there are these global peace meditations, for example, what would normally be a straight line looks very, very much like a mountainous peak, because there's, a whole rise in the graph. And the same thing occurs when there are these global sound healing meditations that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going on our ninth year right now. In the last few years, the Global Consciousness Project has measured this. So it actually shows that our consciousness is able to somehow interface with the consciousness of the planet. And here's the thing, Carl,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's really important, and it's very, very simple, but basically, you know, they've shown, you know, in a lot of different studies, the power of prayer.
Right.
But if you think about it, there's a reason why a majority of the prayer on this planet is vocalized, is chanted aloud, is spoken, is sung, is intoned. And that's because sound amplifies and enhances the power of our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you asked a very complicated mm-hmm. question, mm-hmm. but simply, about 15 years ago, I discovered what, from my perspective, is the most powerful sound that I've ever encountered. And I've been working in this field now for 30 years, so that was 15 years that I've been working the sound, and I basically had this discovery. And the idea that the sound can change the world is, number one, it's a universal sound, and number two, it really seems to have the ability of amplifying our prayers,
mm-hmm.
or, if you like, communion with the divine. So I have great belief, hope, knowing that as people begin to learn to work with this sound, we'll actually be able to create the miraculous and shift a lot of the, shall we say, interesting changes that seem to be going on the planet right now. And I know you'll agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jonathan, your book is titled The Divine Name. What
yes,
is
sir.
The divine name, and how did you discover or rediscover it?
Yeah, great question. The divine name is my, if you like, phrase to describe, first of all, a universal sound that I, if you like, discovered that happens to also be, when it's intoned, when it's vocalized in a long extended sound, it's actually a sequence of vowel sounds that are universal. And when I basically intone this for the first time, I heard the tetragrammaton. People are going, well, what the heck is the tetragrammaton?
Mm-hmm.
The tetragrammaton is a Greek word, but it is a word to describe the four-letter name of God that is found initially in the Old Testament, which,
mm-hmm.
of course, is the basis of all what they call the Abrahamic traditions,
mm-hmm.
the Judaism, Christianity, and the Islam tradition. And I'd like to, if I can, tell
mm-hmm.
you actually how I discovered this. So,
mm-hmm.
if you like, it's the personal name of God that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And I was waking from a dream when I was told to sound the vowel sounds in a particular manner. Now, I had been, as I mentioned, I'd gotten a degree from Lesley University, and for a long time I've worked with vowel sounds to resonate the chakras. Have you spoken to your listeners about chakras and stuff like that?
No. So you might explain these.
So chakras are basically energy centers that are, there are literally seven of them that are found throughout the body, starting at the, if you like, the base of the spine and going up to the top of the head. And in fact, a lot of people have seen pictures of saints with halos, and that's a depiction of an activated crown chakra at the top of the head. And the crown center is usually, shall we say, associated with enlightenment. So that's why, in different traditions on the planet, you'll see these kind of glowing heads of spiritual beings. And that's because, whether it's the Christian tradition or the Hindu tradition, there are people who are, shall we say, metaphysically oriented, who can see what are called auras, or the energy field, and they can actually see these chakras, but particularly the crown at the top of the head is very, very well known. And in the Indian tradition, the Hindu tradition, and in the Buddhist tradition, the concept of chakras, and the word chakra actually is a Sanskrit term that basically translates as spinning wheel.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of these spinning wheels of energy found throughout the body, however, isn't limited simply to the Hindu or the Buddhist tradition. There are many, many different traditions that talk about wheels of energy. Actually, you may have heard of Kabbalah, which is Judeo-Christian mysticism, and there is a structure there called the Tree of Life, which is composed of spinning wheels. And you have a lot of people who are, shall we say, sensitive to energy,
mm-hmm.
who can actually see these wheels. So once again, these wheels of energy seem to have been, if you like, focused on in the Eastern traditions, but they're found throughout the planet in all these different traditions and all these metaphysical traditions. And I've been working with using vowel sounds to resonate these energy centers, which are associated also with parts of the body. There's seven of these.
Mm-hmm.
There is one, for example, right in the center of the chest that's called the heart chakra, the heart center. And I know that everybody who's, for example, been in love and really felt that warm, glowy feeling in the center of their chest knows what an activated heart center is like. And you know what's interesting is that the vowel sound that resonates the heart is that ah sound, that sound that we make when we're in love. And, you know, you can have somebody in Japan or somebody in Nigeria or somebody in Peru be in love and they'll go, ah. And you'll know what they're talking about, even if, you know, you don't know the word for love. You can actually sense it and feel it mm-hmm. in the vowel sound. Anyway, I basically had been working with a system of resonating the chakras, going from the first chakra to the seventh chakra, going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've been doing that call for... Mm-hmm. probably 10 years, and I'd become so indoctrinated in it that when I woke up from this dream and I was told to sound going from the crown to the root and then back up 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I didn't know how to do that. I literally had to write them down. Mm-hmm. And as I wrote them down, I said, okay, this is very, very interesting. I've never done it like this before. Don't ask me why, I just hadn't. Mm-hmm. And then what happened was that two things occurred. I made this sound, I literally sounded it, and I felt the energy vibrating from the top of my head, going down to the base of my spine, and then back out the top of my head. Well, Carl, I had been doing this for 15 years in terms of working with sound, so it wasn't that unexpected, okay? Mm-hmm. In other words, I figured if I made sound, these particular sounds, these particular vowel sounds, this would happen, and it did. But what literally floored me was that as I made the sound, I heard this within these vowel sounds, the sacred ancient name of God. Mm-hmm. And I knew, I realized that I probably discovered something that was really, really important. Because this name of God had literally, about 2,500 years ago, it became prohibited and, if you like, banned in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And it became lost for 2,500 years until perhaps my rediscovery of it. And, I think now would be a great time for me just to play a little excerpt of what this sounded like so that your listeners could have an idea what I'm talking about, because it's such a unique sound that until you hear it, it's very, very hard to really understand what it's like. And I will say, however, that what we're going to be doing is listening to a recorded example. And this is there's an actual instructional CD that is included with the Divine Name book. And incidentally, if anybody wants to get the Divine Name book, they can go to thedivinename.com. We've got a special little website link hooked up. But listening to this, and then all of a sudden you understand it. So, when you listen to it, mm-hmm. this concept becomes something much greater than a concept. All of a sudden, it becomes an experience and a reality. Mm-hmm. So I find it very important. So let's all just, for a moment, give a listen to the Divine Name. This is just me sounding these vowel sounds. And perhaps as people listen to it, they might hear within these vowel sounds either Jehovah or Yahweh or something like that. So, what is called the Tetragrammaton, this name that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Here we go. Thank you. to the power of sound. It's been 15 years since I discovered that sound, Carl, mm-hmm. and it still is the most powerful that I have, worked with, and I have been able to teach this to scores of people, many, many hundreds or thousands of people, and literally it affects them very much the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, it becomes a reality. And once again, they feel the energy going from the top of the head, coming into the body, going down to the base of the spine, then back out the top of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so interesting is this name, the divine name, the Tetragrammaton, is oftentimes described as being the sound of spirit coming into matter, mm-hmm. then going back out to spirit.
Would you say this would be purifying the body, since it starts at the seventh chakra and goes to the root chakra and then back up to the highest chakra?
Oh, most definitely. I think it would be, yes, that is certainly one of the purposes of the sound. It's one of the great, if you like, embodiments of what I call light and love through sound,
mm-hmm.
that I know of. And it's, really great for, number one, moving our energy, bring ourselves in touch with the divine, and of course purifying. What a very, very wonderful observation you've made. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It would seem then, Jonathan, that something this important and something that has been with us for so long, why would this be prohibited by the religions?
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me why now.
Well, we'll ask that later.
Carl, my real thought, and in the book I just present some different ideas about why this might have occurred, but when people learn, because it was said that it was known for quite a while, and then it became, if you like, suppressed, prohibited, banned, and forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And my thoughts are, and I'm not alone in this, I've actually read other authors who have written about this, is that the sound was so powerful, it had the ability of putting an individual who learned how to properly make this sound
mm-hmm.
in touch with higher aspects of existence, making the necessity of the priest as being the, if you like, hotline to God
mm-hmm.
unnecessary.
Oh.
And so I think it was political.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I know if I was a priest and I was getting all sorts of coinage for being the voice of God and telling people what God wanted, and all of a sudden I wasn't that necessary, I certainly would be quite unhappy if the people didn't need me because they had found their own hotline to the divine.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it a shame that politics so often get in the way of what is good?
Yes, it is, my friend. I have nothing to add to that. You said it so eloquently,
right. Now, let's ask the question, why now? Because, Jonathan, you said that you have known about this sound for 15 years, so why now?
About 2 weeks ago. Carl, without sounding, I don't know how I sound, but once in a while, there's an inner voice that speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was the same inner voice that told me as I was awakening from this dream to sound the vowels in this particular pattern. And oftentimes, I will hear this inner voice, and the inner voice will prove to be extremely correct.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was on my way to with my wife to teach at a spiritual ashram in Virginia
mm-hmm.
called Yogaville, actually. And an inner voice said to me, if people ask you why now, tell them because things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it is necessary to learn the divine name in order to restore balance on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I can tell you, is that apparently I would say there's definitely been a speed up or an acceleration
mm-hmm.
of not only consciousness, but, whether it's global warming or all sorts of things. I was watching something on TV. We had Earth Day fairly recently,
mm-hmm.
and there was a show about Earth Day on our public broadcasting system, and it was talking about the history of it and the fact that in the last 200 years, humans have had the capability of affecting and influencing our planet on a global level that they haven't had for the last 200,000 since they've been on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the last 200 years, we've done some considerable damage.
Right, right.
And from my perspective, most of the damage that we've created has been human-created.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's been human-created, then we as a species can also shift and change this.
Right.
But what's really mandatory and necessary is that in order for us to do this, we have to begin to work together with the spirit of cooperation and the spirit of compassion rather than the spirit of competition and the spirit of greed,
mm-hmm.
which seems to have really taken over this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very interesting in this Earth Day special that they had. They just very, very eloquently said that since World War II, human beings, particularly here in the West, but now it's become global, have basically been indoctrinated with the idea that success and material things equaled happiness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, actually the opposite has happened, because in order for most people to be able to afford the material things, they had to forego on a lot of the social behavior that made them happy. So now parents, instead of spending time with their children or spending time with this or that, are busy working and doing this other stuff, and we're buying more and more things. But how many people are really happy?
Right.
How many people are happier? And look what has happened to the planet.
Well, I am optimistic. I think that there's a lot of damage we have done. But I interviewed Caroline Corey from France for my special Christmas program a year ago, and I interviewed Patricia Corey from Italy and about what is happening in the world now as we move toward 2012.
Yeah.
And they were both very optimistic that people are turning more away from the power and the greed, all the negative things. The vibrations are changing, that we're moving from a three-dimension to a five-dimensional world. The concept of time is changing. All kinds of things are changing for the good. And that they just were so positive that I felt like things are really changing. I noticed it a lot with time. I mentioned at one time to a friend that I would sit down to work on my radio show, and I'd look at my watch, I think 15 minutes had passed, and 5-6 hours have passed.
Yeah.
And so I lose all track of time. Time just, it's not like it used to be.
No, and it's not only the people who are getting older who feel this way, but I just want to say that I was not trying to do it all a doom and gloom scenario I'm very, very optimistic, but I just really feel that it's, in order for us to get into that fifth dimensional level of consciousness, it's really, really necessary for us to be able to work in a spirit of cooperation together and a spirit of compassion. It's mandatory.
Right.
You can't be into a greed and competition thing. Otherwise, you're going to stay locked into the elements of the earth plane, which are fine. No judgment there.
Right.
But I'd like to shift and change.
And your music is part of all of this. And the other thing, you brought up the climate change. I always ask, but I never feel like I get a satisfactory answer, and that is, we have so damaged our environment that as the vibrations change, does that mean that we're still going to have to go through a long process of working with the environment to bring about a better world to live in, or does it mean that something is going to miraculously happen to change our environment?
Well, I have an answer for you. How about that?
Oh, you do great. Good.
Yeah. Okay. Which is this, which is why I'm very, very positive about this whole thing, is that if we as a species, you see, I think that the divine name has the potential of bringing us to a quantum level of evolution on a planetary level. So indeed, I agree very, very much with these people you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And if we as a species can do this And I really believe that the divine name in particular has the ability of focusing our, if you like, the energy of our heart and our mind to, if you like, create a coherent field together.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, if you like, very, very simple and very, very, not very, very difficult things that people used to be able to do, and certain people in various indigenous traditions still know how to do this, is to affect and assist weather patterns through prayers. So, you know, talking about global warming, what if we as a species could work together with the consciousness of the Gaia consciousness, the Mother Earth consciousness, and put water where it was needed and stop the flooding where it wasn't, that type of thing. And I really believe we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these miraculous abilities are only miraculous until we begin to realize that we can also partake and be a part of this.
And that makes sense to me, yeah.
And, you know, once again, I think the divine name can really do this. I'm, you know, Carl, I've been in this field 30 years. I've got five other books, and the divine name feels like the culmination of thus far of my work. And it's not a very complicated book to read. I worked with my wife to make it fairly accessible because we wanted people to actually learn to make the sound so they could experience it together. And, you know, there's actually an hour-long CD, an instructional CD that I created so that people could learn to do it. Because, you know, if you read go from EEE hyphen to AH, it's very different than if all of a sudden you hear, now go and I try to pull away. I hope there wasn't too much.
That was great.
But, I mean, you know, once you hear it, then you go, oh, okay, so he's not just going, E-ah. I was actually making a tone, and it actually helps create a visceral experience so that people can really embody, because sound is so powerful, Carl. You know, listening to sound is great, but when you make the sound yourself, it becomes life-changing.
I think people often associate with the higher center, the higher chakra.
Yeah.
Is Om a part of this?
Well, you know, the Om or the Om comes from the Hindu tradition. And one of the reasons I like to work with the vowel sounds, even though this name conceptually, in terms of concept, comes from the Hebrew Judeo-Christian tradition, it's composed of vowel sounds. And because it's composed of vowel sounds, they're universal, and you can't really say, well, this, because, you know, it's a vowel, it belongs to this tradition or that, because vowels are universal, as opposed to the Om. A lot of people who are, shall we say, into certain fundamentalist things will not make that sound, because they feel it's a mantra from a different tradition. But I will tell you something very, very, very interesting about the Om that I just discovered. Turns out that the Om, when it's first named in the sutras, actually is not called the Om. It is called the hum of living energy. So, you know, the Om, for all we know, could have really been a which is a great sound too. But and the Om, you know, the Om is a great sound. There are many, many different divine sounds on the planet. Have you ever gone to our website called the Temple of Sacred Sound?
No.
Oh, it's, your listeners will go. It's a free, available 24/7. It's the world's first cyberspace interactive toning temple with three different chambers. And one of the chambers is the Om chant. One of the chambers is a U chant, and one of the chambers is an Ah chant. You go there, and you hear people from throughout the world making sound, and you look at these great geometric visuals. It's an award-winning website that, you know, is used all the time, but particularly we use it for World Sound Healing Day, and it seems to be a great way to focalize and project intentional positive energy to the planet.
I will get there. It sounds very interesting, and it sounds like something that I'm very interested in. So I will get there, Jonathan.
Oh, great.
Now, can you elaborate a bit on healing, how the sound or the name affects healing and how it brings about healing?
Well, I'm going to do you one better than that, which is I want to talk for just a minute about self-created vocal sounds, because this is so very, very important. As I've mentioned, from my perspective, having been in this field for 30 years, the most powerful self-created vocal sound that I have encountered, and I've worked with all sorts of different traditions, is this divine name.
Mm-hmm.
But Carl, I'll tell you, any time you do a vocal sound, whether it's an om or an ah or even just humming, you get certain things occurring on a physiological level. And I know that you have that you're a nurse, so you, mm-hmm. you can, or you have worked as a nurse, mm-hmm. and so you understand that you get, if you like, a lowering of our heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
Our blood pressure, our respiration, and our brain waves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing that happens. And then you get increased oxygen occurring in the cells. You get increased levels of melatonin. You get increased lymphatic circulation. You get reduced levels of stress-related hormones. You get release of endorphin, those wonderful self-created opiates that work as natural pain relievers.
Mm-hmm.
You get, and I don't know if you've heard or read any research on this molecule called nitric oxide. I'm not talking about nitrous oxide, mm-hmm. which is laughing gas, but this is nitric oxide.
Yeah.
And it's a molecule that's been associated with the promotion of healing. And that's very, very important. As I mentioned, also you get the release of melatonin, which helps induce sleep and has also been used to shrink tumors. And finally, when people make sound together, you get the release of oxytocin, which is the trust hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so very, very important because, you know, talking about working in the spirit of cooperation, working in the spirit of compassion together. If you start making sound together, that hormone on a physiological level of oxytocin is released. That's incredible. All from just making a self-created sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, as I mentioned, your chakras, your energy centers become resonated through making the divine name, and it allows people to access deep levels of consciousness that is not normally touched by our psyche, producing powerful interactive experiences with some very deep level of consciousness that many call the source or the divine. And then lastly, I think it can be the divine name can be used as a tool mm-hmm. for not only enhancing our own personal prayers, but it can be used cooperatively by a number of people working together in order to create an energetic field
mm-hmm.
that can actually interface and influence the consciousness of our planet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's huge.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that it also repatterns, reattunes, and recalibrates our DNA. Didn't even want to go there.
That sounds great. Somewhat like people say that Reiki will also do.
I actually have a recording called Reiki Chants that is mm-hmm. very, very powerful.
Oh.
And you know, the idea of sound coupled with intentionality, because we're not, you know, when I talk about sound, I'm not just talking about the three-dimensional aspect of sound.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, indeed, a fifth-dimensional, a multi-dimensional aspect of sound that is encoded with intention, with prayer, with all sorts of energy that is much greater than simply the idea of this vibration that we perceive of as sound. And in fact, there's a formula that I have, and I just want to share it with you, which is frequency plus intent equals healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that means the sound coupled with the consciousness encoded upon the sound
mm-hmm.
creates the effect of the sound. And this is very important for people to realize, because
mm-hmm.
the way the consciousness that we encode with the sound really has a purpose and an effect.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jonathan, you said this, but I'd like to reemphasize it, that there is no conflict between the sound and any religious beliefs. Is that correct?
Well, Carl, you tell me. Do you have any problem making vowel sounds?
No.
That's all I've got to say. I've been working with the vowel sounds simply because there's some very, very powerful mantras from, you know, I've worked with mantras from the Mayan tradition, from the Egyptian tradition, from the Hindu and the Tibetan tradition, from the Japanese tradition, I mean, from all different traditions. But once again, when you start working with a language, a lot of people either have difficulty making the sound because it, you know, is of a foreign language, or else, you know, they might feel that it interferes with their religious belief.
Mm-hmm.
But by gosh, how can there be anything wrong with sounding the vowels?
Right, right. Now, can anyone do the intonation, or do you need special music ability, or is it for anyone?
Well, that's a really good question, because I will say, first of all, that anyone can learn how to do this. And in fact, once again, my book is divided into three portions. The first portion actually just deals with my discovery, how I made this discovery, and how it became, if you like, validated through my research into different religious and spiritual doctrines. Then the second part talks about sound, the power of sound, sacred sound, these things called harmonics or sounds within sounds, and the relationship of the vowel sounds to the chakras. And the third part deals with learning to intone the divine name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I created this interactive CD that people could use.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the last part, of course, is using the information that we've got so that we can basically work together. And that's the last chapters on the sound that can change the world. So it's really important. But yes, anyone can learn to do it, because you don't need to have any sort of singing ability,
mm-hmm,
or musical ability. You know, this is not entertainment. This is not getting up in front of an audience,
mm-hmm,
and singing Strangers in the Night or something like that. This is a phenomena of physics called entrainment, which is I like to say, frequency shifting, changing our vibratory rate. And we can all do that. You know, those, if you like, attributes that I talked about, just using self-created sound,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, the release of all these different things. One more is simply being able to change your vibratory rate through frequency shifting. So it's, you know, anybody can learn to do it, but I have to tell you that it probably is going to take somewhere probably between 3 and 6 hours to learn how to do it. It's, you know, even if you were the world's greatest mimic,
mm-hmm,
and you were able to hear that sound that we played before, and you could duplicate it, if you did the sound without the proper understanding, and basically if you were able to make that sound without being able to experience the resonance in your physical body and your vibratory body, and then work with it as a sacred aspect of prayer, it would be a lot like eating a piece of fruit that was made out of plastic. You wouldn't get any nutritional value. The effect would be minimal, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, you know, it's, you know, it's a bit of, you know, it's a bit of work. It'll take, gosh, 4 to 6 hours. That could be a lifetime. But you were just mentioning to me how, you know, 15 minutes,
mm-hmm,
you know, and all of a sudden it was 4 to 6 hours if you're really into it. And I will guarantee that anybody who learns how to make this sound, their life will,
mm-hmm,
be changed.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, what do you hope to accomplish with this new book?
I hope to usher in a new era of humanity, which will help bring balance to our planet and bring us to a new, higher level of evolution. Nothing small, Carl.
No, not at all. Mm-mm.
And you know what? I think it can be true. I've been getting emails from people who, since the book has come out, and they've been working with it, have literally told me that they think it's one of the most important, shall we say, discoveries. I like to keep personal their communication, but I'm just so overjoyed that the, if you like, reception of people to experiencing the divine name has been as I've hoped. And they literally, their lives have been changed, and they find it to be, you know, perhaps some of the most important revelation that's occurred in the last 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can only give thanks that this has happened.
Right. Yeah. Now, Jonathan, is there anything else you would like to say before we look at your other works, and also how the listeners can reach you?
Well, Carl, I'd like to basically give you the last 2 or 3 sentences in the book.
Mm-hmm. Great.
We heal the planet, we heal ourselves. We heal ourselves and we heal the planet. The choice is ours.
Is there a choice?
You know, thank you. Yeah. You know, well, I'm in agreement there, but I leave it up to people to decide. I don't want to say this is what you're supposed to do, this is not what you're supposed to do. It's our choice. But what I like to believe, Carl, is that when we begin to become attuned to the higher aspect of Source, and you know what I'm talking about here, mm-hmm. then you realize that we really don't have a choice.
No. Mm-mm. Well, I live in an area, Jonathan, that they say will be underwater within 25 years. And I'm just one person that will be happening to. So if you consider all of the climate changes, I don't think we have a choice.
No, and, you know, there's so much going on, you know, with regard. I am very, very optimistic because mm-hmm. I believe we can create the miraculous.
Right.
You know, I basically open up the divine name with the, what if you discovered a technology that could change the world? What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a dilemma that I initially faced. Should I, you know, reveal this? And, you know, for about 10 years, I sat on it. And then my friend Greg Braden, are you familiar with Greg's work?
No. I saw his name on your materials, but I didn't know him. No.
Oh, he's a brilliant spiritual scientist who's written a lot of really important books on the power of prayer and on time. His most recent book, in fact, is called Fractal Time, about the changes in time.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote a wonderful book called The Isaiah Effect and another one called The Divine Matrix. And I highly recommend Greg's work as well. He's very well known. He's a New York Times bestselling author. But it's really, really important that we realize that we do not want to be limited by our belief systems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we can begin to understand some of the natural powers and abilities that were given to us, divinely given to us, to make positive shift and change, and that's the whole thing, positive shift and change. We have gone overboard in terms of the species, in terms of, you know, just not caring about stuff, but we can restore balance. And we can, as you know, your friends in Italy and whatnot mm-hmm. have said, we can reach that next level of quantum evolution, going to the fifth dimension and even higher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Jonathan, would you tell us about your other music, your other books, and how the listeners can reach you?
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Well, let's see.
We've got a few minutes.
Okay. I have over 25 CDs, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
I have five or more books. And what I'd like to suggest, if people like it, you know, they can find me on Amazon.com and they can find me a lot of different places. But my website is Healing Sounds, that's sounds with an S at the end, .com. If they go to healingsounds.com, they'll actually be able to read about the different recordings that I've done and the different books, and they can even hear examples of the different sounds to see if they resonate and vibrate with it, because it's my belief that we're all unique vibratory beings,
mm-hmm.
and no one sound, no one anything is going to affect everyone the same way.
Right.
And so I would really like to suggest that if people would like to get an overall, you know, feeling for my work, they go to healingsounds.com. It's an award-winning website. And once again, if they want to check, and there's also, it sort of acts as the umbrella, so you can go to the Temple of Sacred Sound from the homepage there, et cetera. If they specifically want to find out about the divine name, then they can go to thedivinename.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want people to know that we teach a 9-day, every year, we teach a 9-day Healing Sounds intensive in, get the name of this place,
mm-hmm.
Loveland, Colorado.
Oh.
You know, and mm-hmm. it's just a remarkable, remarkable experience for, you know, we have people from throughout the planet who come and they join us. And every year we fill up, and we're just about filled up. But, you know, for those who somehow are, if you like, etherically drawn
mm-hmm.
to come to this, they somehow manage. And it's a you know, miraculous experience. I like to say that for 9 days, we basically create fields of light and love through sound. Mm-hmm. And to me, the greatest healing that can go on, Carl, I've been in this field 30 years, mm-hmm. and I am so grateful that I have helped introduce a lot of the aspects of using sound for personal healing.
Mm-hmm.
And about 10 years ago, I remember I was in really deep meditation, and I was talking, you know, to that inner voice that I mentioned before, and I said, okay, well, you know, about 20 years ago, you told me that I was supposed to help bring awareness of sound for healing onto the planet, and this seems to have happened. Not only have I written a number of books and made a lot of different CDs, but there's also a whole lot of students of mine and people who are doing their own work, and it's wonderful. I said, is it time for me to go to Tahiti with my wife and just sit on the beach and play guitar? And this inner voice said, continue your work with personal healing sounds,
mm-hmm.
but now you must add planetary healing sounds,
mm.
which is why we then began to do, every year we do World Sound Healing Day, and we then established the Temple of Sacred Sound, and we're almost on to 2012 now, and I
mm-hmm.
think it's going to be a great time.
No
need to be in fear.
Mm-mm. No, mm-mm. Not at all. Well, I appreciate this very much, Jonathan. It's been very interesting, and I hope at some point I can have you back.
Well, Carl, that would be great. And once again, thank you for this opportunity of sharing and having your listeners do this too. Sound is an extremely, extremely powerful tool for changing our vibrational rate, shifting our frequencies. Sacred sound coupled with intentionality is the most powerful tool that I personally know of, and I've studied this stuff for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to basically create the miraculous, start working with sacred sound.
Right.
And all the different spiritual texts,
mm-hmm.
they talk about this occurring, and it's real, and it's true.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you again.
I hope you have enjoyed the special program with Jonathan Goldman. In the time left, I would like to invite you to my website, where I place all programs following the broadcast and have some ebooks and CDs on smoking cessation for sale. I would also like to ask any of you listening who are a lung cancer survivor and who use Laetril or Protocell as part of your treatment, if you would contact me through my website for an interview for a book I'm writing, and also for a future show on lung cancer that will be part of another cancer series. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a good week.